This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. April is the month that nationally we put in the spotlight to raise awareness about sexual assault, where we have conversations about things that we really should be talking about a lot more often. Maybe it's because the subject is uncomfortable, but hopefully we will all learn together today with help from our guest, Swarupa Toth, who is Aware Sexual Assault Response Team Manager, or SART Manager, and she also works with legal issues on the SART. And we also have Megan Delaw with us. She is what's called a SANE coordinator. SANE is short for Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner. Well, Swarupa and Megan, so nice to have you here to enter a conversation about this, but maybe the first thing we should do is to take time out and have you tell us a little bit about what you do in your job. So, Swarupa, can we start with you, and maybe you can tell us what your job involves?
Hi, yes, thank you, Rhonda. I am the legal and the sexual assault response team manager at Aware. So that's two teams, and we're really focusing, because it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, on that SART team, the Sexual Assault Response Team.
And so is that a tough job? I mean, are you on call kind of 24/7 most days of the week?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and it probably I would compare it to being as hard as a nurse.
And that's a good opening for Megan. So tell us about your job. I have never heard that term SANE for a SART nurse.
Yeah, so I am the SANE, so Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner Coordinator, and I'm based out of Bartlett Regional Hospital's Emergency Department. I'm a member of the SART team, so the Sexual Assault Response Team, and we work together to help support victims of sexual assault. And then we coordinate resources for victims of domestic violence and other issues like that as well. So I get to be a part of the team, and I help with the sexual assault kit completion in the emergency department at Bartlett.
So I imagine people have no idea that there is such a team that can be rallied to support someone who is assaulted. Can you tell us, and maybe we should go back to you, Swarupa, just to tell us a little bit about the nature of this team, how it's made up, and the thinking behind it.
Yes, you know, teams like this have been coordinated around the country. And, you know, Alaska is number one in statistics of sexual assault crimes. So we have really implemented around the state a protocol to be able to respond to sexual assault with a coordinated team that includes law enforcement. That would be JPD, Alaska State Troopers, and even the FBI during cruise ship times, and Bartlett Regional Hospital and the District Attorney's Office. And JPD. So we work together on an overview of all of the communities that we work with. So that's the northern, southeast. And we really wanted to work hard to create the kind of response that would make it doable for someone who is sexually assaulted. And now we have to get out and let people know, not only is there a team who will receive you, but Megan and I are on the sort of subcommittee of the team who can do a thing called an anonymous sexual assault kit. So if you have any sort of ambivalence about reporting, say you were sexually assaulted by your partner or a family member or something, and you don't know if you want to tell law enforcement, but you want to have that choice, you can still have everything preserved in a kit. And you have as long as you want to make that decision. And that's what Megan and I really want to let people know, because it does not cost anything. The kit is paid for. There may be other medical costs, but not the kit. And we really want to let people know that reporting is trauma-informed and compassionate here in Juneau.
Well, I would imagine that might be a good option for someone who just feels too overwhelmed to say much about it at that point. But Without the evidence, though, if you wait, it must be harder to bring a case forward.
Yes, cases are generally, this is what makes a sane nurse so valuable, because you have so many elements to sexual crimes, things like consent, and sometimes DNA doesn't matter if you can't prove that you did not consent to this. But here's the thing, there are many things that we as a coordinated team can do. And we can make those options really clear to a person so that they feel really grounded in the process and have control and choice again. And that, when you've had your choice ripped off, you know, from an intimate violence crime, is really significant. It's part of the healing, I think.
Maybe to have a choice or a decision about how the reporting is going to take place. So, Megan, how does someone report anonymously? How does that work? What does that look like?
Yeah, so if someone wanted to report anonymously, the main thing they would have to do is report, call AWARE, and they could call AWARE and get guidance with where to go next, or they could call the ER at Bartlett, but I would suggest going through AWARE because then an advocate could talk them through the process. But it cannot be reported to JPD or a state trooper, because then it's on their radar type thing. And so in order to stay anonymous, it would have to be go through AWARE, or just the AWARE and the sexual assault nurse examiner. Just so we can make sure we really preserve that confidentiality, which is what we're offering with an anonymous kit, you know, really trying to make sure if the victim is ambivalent, there's an option for them and they have the right to decide in their own time how they want to handle the sexual assault. But it allows us to give them that option and help collect evidence, you know, that may degrade if they were to wait. But we can collect the evidence, complete the kit, provide them with supports, and get that done in a timely fashion. And then they have time to think about where they might want to go thereafter with it.
You know, Juneau is a fairly large town, but it's still a small town. And I think people worry about confidentiality and things like this, especially in smaller communities where everybody does know everybody and people are related. And so they worry, you know, about something being said. What are the safeguards in preserving that anonymity?
Well, I think there are two. There's the one in the community that you're talking about. And but first, excuse me, maybe Megan, you could talk about how the kit preserves anonymity.
Anonymously.
Yes,
you can avoid that word, anonymity. But so, Megan, how does the kit function so that it protects your identity?
Yeah, so basically our kit is created, so we have a standardized process with questions on log sheets and, you know, a standardized way to document injuries, et cetera. But basically when we're completing an anonymous kit, we don't put any of the victim's identifying information anywhere that can be seen by someone who might be holding on to the kit itself. Once it's completed, it goes to the state, it goes to the local law enforcement agency, and then it's sent to the state lab. And all that's listed on the front of the kit is a case number. The only people that even have that case number would be like the sexual assault nurse examiner, the advocate, the victim. And so it has no identifying information on the front of the kit. The kit is sealed with evidence tape that's labeled by me when I complete the kit. So if it's tampered with and opened, there are ways to track, you know, where that kit has been. And so we also make sure, you know, we are bound by HIPAA regulations in the hospital. So anyone who enters our doors are protected, their confidentiality is protected in that way as well. So we really make sure if someone's reporting anonymously, we use a certain format, we have a protocol, we use a certain set of forms, and we really make sure that all of their information is being protected at every step of the way with multiple safeguards, like you know, making sure that none of that information is passed on to law enforcement until and if the victim decides that is the route they want to follow.
I'm sure that both of you follow up with people who report or that come through your doors. And I wonder if they've told you in hindsight things that they wish they had known about the process. I mean, what are some things they need to know that they don't know?
Yes, I'm the big follow-upper in the community. But Rhonda, I wanted to say one thing. AWARE is all advocates have a privileged relationship with victims who work with them. Any participant of AWARE's program that is also protected by law as confidential. And law enforcement is mandated to report a crime. That's why they can't be part of an anonymous kit. They have to investigate a sex crime if they hear about it. So it's not that we don't like them. It's just that they can't, you know, it's no longer anonymous if they have heard about it.
And school teachers, I imagine, too, or any other legally mandated reporters, that they can't keep things anonymous.
That's right. And these kits are part of the Alaska statute and part of VAWA. So it's a federal and state law that, you know, any person over the age of 18 has the right to a kit without having to pay for it. And unless they are, and the exceptions for AWARE would be to confidentiality, is if we might have to report to law enforcement if a child was involved witnessing or something like that, or the person said they were going to go kill somebody or they were going to kill themselves, or a vulnerable adult was involved in any way. So those are pretty rare. And in terms of follow-up, I really would like to share with people who maybe are asking the question, what do I do now that I've been sexually assaulted? Well, the good news is you have 7 days to do an anonymous kit. That's a long time because we've come a long way in science. And do people wish that they would have done things earlier? I think it happens at the perfect time. And I also want to let people know that even if you have a historical sexual assault, we wouldn't do a kit, but there are other things that we can do. And we prosecuted a crime last July. A person was sentenced to 20 years with, I think, only 3 or 4 to serve because he had no criminal record because of a number of sexual assaults that happened 20 years ago. So,
wow. 20 years ago.
So the right, when a person is ready, that's the right time.
Whether it's 1 week or 20 years, it seems. But it's good that that option is there. You know, but we watch TV shows like, I don't know, Law and Order, Special Victims. And of course, they're always talking about being able to collect the evidence and the importance of that. And it sounds like it's absolutely urgent that everything must be done ASAP.
And they always get their results back in 10 minutes. It takes us about 4.5 months right now.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, now that is a jolt of reality right there.
But we are increasing the amount of people who are being trained at the crime lab, so it'll be much quicker by the end of 2022.
Yeah, I've heard that there's been some legislation and funding that's going to make some headway on that, so that should be reassuring. And do you think it's important to people who have been assaulted that the wheels of justice move a little faster? Because once, I mean, you build up all this momentum to report, and it must take a great deal of emotional strength to do that, and then it might be deflating if it takes a long time. I mean, what do you see when you deal with survivors in the long term?
Yeah, that is totally my job. I'm sorry to have interrupted. I go with them throughout the entire process of grand jury investigation, grand jury, and then all of those hearings that go on and on and on, especially through COVID. And now after COVID, there's a million of them, readiness hearings and everything, and setting things off. But again, whatever the process is sexual assault is a difficult process to overcome, and people do it, and they do amazingly well. And when it's over, they don't feel like, yeah, I got that guy in jail. They feel like, what a sense of relief. There's closure.
Right. I can see what you're saying. Circling back to a question I asked earlier, in your interactions with survivors, what have they told you they wish they had known, aside from probably knowing about the anonymous reporting option? But are there any other things they've told you that they wish that they could have known from the get-go?
You know, we do everything we can to explain everything, and sometimes it just doesn't get heard. So sometimes I think they wish that they would have heard things and really understood them for themselves. But there's never really any regret. People go at their own pace. I think the anonymous kit is a big option that will help people who wish they would have done a kit when they didn't. And they didn't, you know, maybe we didn't have anonymous kits then, because really they're kind of new. They've only been around for a few years, and certainly they haven't been promoted.
Well, I'm really glad that both of you have come on to Juno Afternoon and explained this option. Megan, before we go, any parting thoughts for us?
I think the most important thing that we want both Swaroopra and I for everyone to understand today is just that we're here. If you're ever wondering, you know, if you have any questions, if you don't know what avenue or what if an anonymous kit is right for you, or if you do want to report, utilize, you know, AWARE as a resource. If you ever have questions, you know, everyone knows about the SART program and the ED as well at Bartlett. So that's our biggest, you know, thing we want to put out there today is there's resources. We are here. We're always open to answering questions. And there are options that support the choices of the victim.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for being here with us. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I'm hoping that maybe we can agree that we can continue this conversation and maybe drill down into some other important issues that people don't know about, because it's kind of a shame that we really only focus on this in the month of April. And don't you think that we need to have more talks about this? I hope so.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.